please disregard this podcast if you are listening to it in 2012 or onwards. This is only relevant to the 2011 study design. The following podcast was prepared for my Year 12 accounting students in 2011. The explanations provided in this podcast have been given in good faith, but no responsibility will be taken for their accuracy. The opinions expressed in this podcast are of my own and do not represent those of the VCAA or any other government body or organisation. As you study, travel to and from school, or exercise, it's time to balance out the world of accounting. All right, welcome to this podcast. Today's podcast will be looking at accounting for stock, in particular focusing on the Unit 3 requirements in the VCE accounting course. So in VCE accounting, Units 3 and 4, we look at trading firms, that is, a business that purchases goods in order to sell them at a profit. Those goods that the business purchases on sale is known as stock or inventory. So that is what the trading firm purchases for the purpose of reselling them at a profit. Stock or inventory is classified as a current asset in our accounting records. This is because it's controlled by the entity, that is, we have the stock, as a result of past events, a cash purchase or credit purchase from a supplier, and it represents a future economic benefit, that is, the future potential profit we're going to receive from selling the stock with the intention to sell it within the next 12 months. Stock is a really, really, really important asset for the business, and it's really important that it's accounted for correctly and accurately. Why is this the case? Well, without it, a trading business will not make a profit. They need their stock to make a profit. They need it to survive. It's a major expense of most businesses, so we need to make sure that it's accurately accounted for. It's made up of many, many, many transactions, and it is also a very vulnerable item, meaning that it can be susceptible to damage, spoilage, theft, and also changes in consumer tastes and demand, which can affect its value. So it's really important that we account for it correctly and accurately in accounting. There are two ways a trading business can keep its stock records. The first way is the periodic method. This is where a business does not keep any continuous records of stock at all. It just records the purchases into a purchases account, and then at the end of the reporting period, it does a stock take where it goes and counts what's left, and whatever the difference between the purchases and the physical stock take is the cost of sales, so that's the expense of the stock that has been sold. Advantage of this method is it's really cheap. We don't need to account for every single transaction involving stock, so we don't need to employ someone to do that for us. A disadvantage is that there's no up-to-date stock levels at any time. We actually have to physically see and look to see how much stock's left over. So for a business, if a customer wants to know if they've got this item, by doing the periodic method, the only way they'll know is that if they physically go and look for the stock. The reason why a business would choose a periodic method is because the cost of keeping continuous records outweighs the benefit you're going to get from them. Okay, so the benefit of knowing how much stock you've got on hand by keeping continuous records far outweighs the cost of the actual stock itself. So it's actually easier and cheaper for the organization to keep the periodic method. The method we use in Year 12 accounting, though, is known as the perpetual quantities, and this record is known as a stock card. So we record the cost price on the actual time of sale, and we record all purchases into the cost price, remembering that GST does not go into our stock card. So the stock card is continually updated throughout the period, every time the stock moves in and moves out. A stock take is still performed at least on an annual basis to check that our records are correct in our stock card, and the difference between the stock take result and the stock card's total will be a stock loss or a stock gain depending on which way it falls. An advantage of this perpetual method is that there's a greater control over stock because we're consistently updating the stock cards, and we also can know if they've got a stock loss or a stock gain And it also provides management with a lot of other information. Like we can identify fast-moving stock, slow-moving stocks, and we can easily reorder stock when we need to do so. So it's quite a good inventory management tool. Disadvantage, though, is it adds to the workload and there's a significant cost to keeping stock cards. So we've got to look at the benefits and a cost-benefit analysis when we're looking at whether to adopt the perpetual method or not. So like I said, in VCE accounting, we use perpetual method of recording stock. So in our general ledger, we record all our stock into the stock control account, where the debit side is all our increases to stock, and our credit side are all our decreases to stock. The subsidiary record we use is the stock card, and this is where we record individual transactions and individual movements of stock. So, how do we work out the cost price of the stock sold? There are a number of methods we use. The first method we could use is the specific identification method. Under this method, inventory which is sold and that inventory that is on hand can be clearly identified. Therefore, the value of the inventory and the costs of goods sold can be easily found. So, an example for this is a motor vehicle dealer, okay, a car yard. Each car has its own identification number, vehicle identification number, VIN number. So we can clearly identify the cost price we have of the stock because we can clearly differentiate between the different cars due to this vehicle identification number. So by doing so, we can accurately record the cost price of the stock. However, what happens if all the stock's the same? What if all stock is homogenous? That is, it all looks the same and they don't have any identifiable characteristics. So an example of this, how can we tell the difference between the cost price of jars of Vegemite? Once we put them on the shelf, there is no difference between them. The barcode's the same, the label's the same, the design is the same. So how do we tell the difference between the cost price? This is where we need to make assumptions of the flow of goods to determine cost price. Some of the assumptions we can make is known as first in, first out. Under this method, we assume that the first inventory purchase is the first inventory sold. So that is, the stock that's sold is the oldest stock, and all the stock on hand is the most recently purchased and is valued at its latest invoice cost. Another assumption we can make is under the weighted average cost method. This assumes that the inventory cost is sold on the average of both the old and new inventory. So the closing inventory is valued at the weighted average of the purchase prices based on the quantity and the values on hand. This method is mainly used by the computerized accounting systems. However, you can use it in a manual system as well. But if you use MYOB, that is the method that they use. The final method that could be used is the fixed markup system, where this system is quite simple in its setup, in that there's a particular markup applied to all products sold. So when we sell them, we simply take away the markup to work out our cost price. In Year 12 accounting and all VCE accounting, we only look at the first in, first out method of stock valuation. This is because most trading businesses sell homogenous items. We can't distinguish one lot of stock to another, so it's not practical for us to use the identified cost method. We need to use a simpler, easier system in doing so, which is the first in, first out, where we assume all goods sold is the oldest stock. The oldest stock is sold first. And the first in, first out method seems to make sense. Supermarkets stock their shelves from the back, oldest to the front, newest to the back of the shelf. That way they make sure that all the old stock gets sold first so that they don't encounter any shop spoilage or get stock out of date. So now we need to record these items into the stock card. When we're recording purchases into the stock card, these get recorded into the in column. The date is the transaction that occurs. The detail is the source document number. We record it into the in column with the quantity and unit costs, not including GST, and then we simply times the quantity times the unit cost to get our value. We then add that from our in column to the balance, putting it below any existing balances that are there. So it's really important that we keep the stock in order of how we've received it, so it always goes to the bottom of the balance. When we record sales, it's really important that we don't record it at at its selling price in the stock card. We must use its cost price. So when we're recording sales, we record it into the out column. Again, we record the quantity of the goods in the quantity column, the unit cost based on the first in, first out principle from our balance column. So we need to look at the previous balance, previous dates balance columns, and we start from the top and work our way down through the balances until we can add up to the quantity that's required from the sale. We then update the balance in the balance column to reflect the new balance now that we've made the sales. It's really important that you accurately follow the first in, first out principles so that as you don't make mistakes. Mechanisms that we have to check the accuracy of our stock cards. And there's two possible results, three possible results, I guess, coming from a stock take. Firstly, that your stock take result matches your stock card. But more likely, there's going to be a difference between it. You're either going to end up with a stock loss or a stock gain. A stock loss occurs when our stock take result is less than our balance in our stock card. Therefore, we must record a stock loss to reduce the balance in our stock card to reflect the stock take result. Therefore, an error has occurred somewhere along the way. This could have been an undersupply by suppliers or an oversupply to customers. There could have been theft, a recording error in your stock cards, or perhaps your supplier has sent you invoices twice and you've accidentally recorded it twice. Or there also could be errors in the stock take. So there's a number of different ways that a stock loss can arise, but when we're recording a stock loss, we need to record it into our stock card, putting in the date of the transaction, and in the details column, we put the source document number. For a stock loss, it must go into the out column, and it follows the first in, first out principle. So we start from the top of our previous dates balance and work our way down until we can get the quantity that we're required. We then also update our balance. We must also record this into the general journal at the date the transaction occurs, where we debit stock loss, credit stock control, with a narration linking it to the reason for the stock loss and including the source document number. Stock gain, on the other hand, is where our stock take result is actually greater than what's in our stock cards. This can be caused by an oversupply by suppliers, an undersupply to customers, errors in recording in our stock cards, and error in our stock take. So when we record a stock gain in our stock card, again, we must record it at the date the transaction occurred. We must also record in the details column the source document details. Now, because we've got a stock gain, this is like stock coming back into the business. So we look at recording it in our in column. However, the details we get for this is we refer to our out column and start from our bottom and work our way up. So we're making the assumption that we're trying to get our stock card back to what the stock card should be had a stock gain not occurred. Okay, so we need to go to our out column and start from our last out transaction and work our way back up to re-record in the details so that the stock card is reflective of the transactions. We need to get it back to as if the transaction had never occurred. Record this stock gain in the general journal as a debit to stock control, credit stock gain. It's really important when you're looking at stock that you might come across a few questions that might trick you up. Firstly, don't include GST in your stock card. Secondly, don't include the sales price in the stock card. And thirdly, when you're looking at transactions and it asks you what was the cost of sales and you only get given your stock card to calculate your cost of sales, make sure you only include sales items. Don't include drawings, don't include donations. Okay, make sure that you're only including sales that actually occur. So make sure you refer to your source documents recorded in your details column to differentiate between item that was taken out for donation or for drawings or an item that was sold. Be sure to refer back to your accounting for stock worksheet that was handed out in class. If you have lost it, it is up in Moodle for your reference. We'll see you soon.
Oh, we all love accounting.
For more information on accounting, visit the website accvce.blogspot.com, or for my students, it's all in Moodle.